Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. Always means a lot to have you with us. We are taking you up to 5:45 on G&D. A lot of Commanders news trickling out, but one big juicy meatball as the breaking news of the day. So let's get that right now. The Commanders, according to Nikki Jabvala of the Washington Post, are releasing defensive end Jamin Davis. She puts this out in a tweet that also lists that the team has cut safety Sheldrick Redwine from the practice squad and has signed a couple players to the practice squad. Sounds like perhaps a roster announcement has come out from the club. But Nikki Jabvala is the first we've seen here announcing that Jamin Davis, defensive end, former first-round pick, is being released by the Commanders. We'll get you more details as they come. All of our breaking news on the Fan brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. But that is a significant development. I mean, Jamin Davis, if you look at how much he's played of late, has certainly not been a factor at the defensive end position. Danny hasn't been on the field very much at all, but to hear that he's being cut as a former first-round pick in the Rivera era who went in the top 20 after 5 games with this Dan Quinn regime is pretty massive.
Yeah, the team is tweeted out as part of their set of roster moves, so there you go.
So that must be because I saw Nikki's tweet, and I'm going, if you're reporting this, you would source it or you would put it by itself. She's got it just with like 3 or 4 different roster moves. So the team made the announcement and nobody broke it, I guess.
It's what it looks like because it just says, you know, we've made the following roster moves.
Yeah.
Ben Nickel and Michael Strachan and Sheldrick Redwine and Jamin Davis is cut. Whoa, that was a bad, oh, what was that one? So anyway, but to that, so this is a pretty big deal. And here's why. It's not just a guy that's not playing is released by team. Think about what they did when they moved on from Jahan Dotson. Okay, and this is not to impugn Jahan Dotson or run down his character or anything like that, but it basically is at a position that we're not real strong, as evidenced by the fact that we went out and got somebody that was cut at the 11th hour by another team who's now probably our second best receiver, talking about Washington. This is not a position of strength. Now, it turns out it hasn't been needed. They're not desperate for receiver help. They're doing just fine. I was wrong about that. But anyway, the fact that they were willing to let Dotson go kind of showed you we're not real concerned about missing out on him. Go to the defensive end spot. No Dorrance Armstrong, at least for some time. They're thinner on the defensive line. An opportunity was going to be there for Jamin Davis to be part of a rotation opposite Dante Fowler, at least maybe for the short term. There's not a whole lot of defensive end depth right now in Washington. It's Gervonta John-Baptiste working his way back from injury.
He's
Armstrong
IR
as well. Yeah, so there were playing opportunities.
Armstrong's hurt, yeah.
There are playing opportunities for him, and they're not concerned about that.
Well, here's your defensive end room. Cleland Farrell starts. Dante Fowler was fantastic last week as the key guy opposite him. And then it's F.A. Obata who plays inside, outside, and Jamin Davis who they just cut. They think so little about how much Jamin Davis can help him that at their low point of depth on the entire season, they are cutting him. Number one, this is a massive referendum once again on Rivera and the Marty Party. That Ron Rivera operation and Marty, the law firm that was the gift that kept on giving, what an absolutely horrific, terrible drafting operation they were. They swung and missed in the biggest at bats in the early part of the draft over and over and over again. And it's shocking that the team stunk when they got their first round picks wrong over and over and over again. And their big free agents that they would spend money on didn't pan out. Of course you're not going to be any good. That's the past. This group, we hoped, would be able to get something out of Jamin Davis. Maybe he's only 25, he's got speed, he's physical. Maybe they can make him better than the last group did. They immediately changed his position. They looked at him and they said,
nope.
You can't play off-ball linebacker for us. And maybe somewhere else he could. Maybe he'll go somewhere and he'll get back to playing on the second level as an off-ball linebacker. But with this group, they said, we got Frankie Louvu, who's better than you. We got Bobby Wagner, who's better than you. They thought Michael Davis, who they brought in to be just a special team or extra linebacker, is going to be better than you. Jordan McGee, our mid-round rookie, will be better than you. We don't need you in the linebacker room, thank you. Go to the defensive end room. That's what he did. And then at defensive end, he made the roster, and I give him credit. He had a pretty good preseason.
Yep.
He needed to have a few flash moments, and Danny, he did. So I fully give him props for the transition, former first-round pick. That can be embarrassing. There could be shame there. I think he did everything he was supposed to, and he seems like a model citizen. He seems like, you know, in the building, he is a guy that is coachable, that is pleasant, that people want to be around. He's been in some trouble at different points, driving fast and getting speeding tickets and, you know, doing some reckless, silly things behind the wheel.
Yeah.
But for the most part, in the building, by all accounts, this is like a really, really good, sharp young man. And who knows? Maybe they feel like nobody will pick him up and they'll get him back to the practice squad. He just seems like the kind of guy I think someone should take a flyer on. He's 6'3", 235. A lot of teams probably had round two, round three grades on him. And maybe you think with a change of scenery, playing linebacker again, maybe it could work out. And I'll root for him, but what a terrible pick that was.
Well, certainly. And I think that goes without saying at this point. So this, I hesitate to speculate wildly. This timing is pretty stunning. It tells me that this isn't, or it leads me to guess and wonder. I guess let me do it this way to try to be fair. And it makes me wonder, is there something else going on? Right? Because we were talking about this. There's no depth. They don't have bodies to play these positions.
Well, either that, which I'm not jumping to that lily pad with you, or they just have seen enough to know he can't help us. Because
right, but
you're not cutting him at a moment of need at that position if you think he can help you.
Clearly. And and that's why I'm kind of going, you know, he can't play 10 plays a game? At this point, again, I'm not questioning them. They have earned the right to not have me bother them with my minor concerns. I learned my lesson post Jahan Dotson here. But I guess what I'm saying is, I wonder if there's some sort of, hey, we need you to do X, Y, Z. That didn't happen. I'm not saying like some sort of off-field impropriety. I mean, I have no idea. But with all the injuries, with everything that's happening, it's not like they just have a bunch of dudes ready and waiting at this point and a bunch of kids coming up from the practice squad that are itching to get you double-digit sacks. They don't have very much there. It tells you, to your point, at a minimum, this guy simply cannot do it. And we did everything we possibly could to try to figure it out, and we're not going to waste our time anymore. We would rather have more Jalen Holmes in the lineup. We'd rather have more, I don't know, I'm trying to think of someone who was on the practice squad who could help him. Andre Jones, we'd rather have him active than Davis at this point, who can run. I mean, just it's fascinating. Again, they've earned the benefit of the doubt as far as I'm concerned with moves like that, and you're 100% right. It's another terrible reminder and indictment on how poor this previous regime was that these guys are digging out of the hole of. But man, oh man, that's pretty stunning.
We are blowing out the Beltway Blitz that was planned here. We'll open up the phones for your reaction. This is an opportunity for you to react now live, only medium where you could do that, to the breaking news, which is fairly significant, I would say. Even though I can't call it stunning, because he truly was one of the last guys on the roster.
Yep.
He was one of the last guys in. He was one of the last guys to get activated on games where he was. He was occasionally below that line of the threshold of being deactivated. Jamin Davis being released by the Commanders, that is according to the team directly, he has been cut. Another indictment on the Rivera era drafts, obviously. His final run here in Washington will go down as having been a part of 5 of the 7 games. Some of that work on special teams, 13 total tackles and 1 tackle for loss. That, by the way, came, I believe, in the first half against Tampa in week 1. If you remember, he made back-to-back plays that were, I thought, were pretty good against the run. But that should have been the writing on the wall. In week 1, he was one of the first guys on the field at defensive end, if we remember. Think about that. Now, Dante Fowler maybe wasn't 100% healthy yet, coming back with some issues, but he got on the field. He was their speed rusher, and he made a couple nice plays against the run. And each week after that, I think week 2 the next week, he was deactive. And we all said, wait, they deactivated him? He's inactive this week after he made a couple plays last week? That told you right then and there, they obviously didn't see the performance like a lot of people did on the outside looking in. But he can't get on the field. He can't play at a time where they've got a bunch of injured defensive ends. What else is there to say?
Not much beyond that. But I don't know. It is pretty stunning when you think about that. Again, if I would understand if Armstrong healthy, rolling. Jean-Baptiste healthy, rolling. Fowler has the game he has this past week. You welcome back Obata, who can play multiple spots for you and probably do a couple different things. If you had bodies, I would go, yeah, that's a numbers game, and you lose, dude. You were the ninth guy on that sort of edge group, and that's not including when we line up Luvu out there to blitz or somebody else to kind of do what you do a lot better. But right now, when they're as thin as you could possibly be, it just tells you how little they think at this point. And this is one of those, we are not concerned what happens, right? Knowing we've got a lot to play and there's not a great option that we can just turn to, they remain unconcerned, which tells you a lot.
Not to mention that their seventh-round pick this year, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, had climbed ahead of him on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. I mean, that in and of itself was telling. And that's why I say I don't think anyone should be shocked by this, because he was at the very, very back of the end rotation. It was one of the things you had to look at every week before the game. Let's pull up the inactives. Is Forbes there? Is Davis there? By the way, Emmanuel Forbes headed in the other direction, perhaps. He played in 4 snaps 2 weeks ago. Then he was inactive last week. He played this week, and he had the interception.
Almost 2/3 of snaps.
Otherwise was not noticeable, right? But he played a lot at cornerback, which, without any injury, and there's been no major change to the personnel, means that either they like the matchup or they like something they saw in practice or they felt like there was some breakthrough. He went from not playing at all to playing more than 50% of the snaps. Whereas Jamin Davis has been going in the other direction, and that's with all the injuries. Like, I thought this week, in fact, if you go back and pull the audio from last week, when they had the injury to Dorrance Armstrong, who was going to miss, was ruled out on Friday, and Baptiste was put on IR, we both kind of said, okay, it's going to be a lot of Fowler on passing downs. It's going to be plenty of F.A. Obata on running downs, but Jamin Davis is going to get one last crack at this thing.
He was probably my answer to who steps up, if you recall. We did that last week in the absence of Allen and Armstrong and company, meaning he's going to have a chance to play because there's nobody in front of him. Well, I guess now there's no team in front of him. I mean, that's the end. That is wild.
Where are you on discussing the old Rivera draft history? Because I think there's two camps whenever I do that. One is, who cares, move on, it's in the past.
Oh, no.
I just can't get there yet. I need everyone to remember. Number one, because they screamed at me about how we should all just trust Ron constantly. You know, the same people. Now, this time, hopefully they're right, you know, that are in love with Dan and everything that's going on now. Before that, they were all in love with Ron for the first year, and they were in love with everyone that had been brought in. And, you know, so this one's better, I think. You know, this situation's better. But the next guy they'll love, too. You know, you could hire Darris or me as defensive coordinator, and they'll tell you why we're going to be awesome as long as we wear the right colors.
Grant's like, we're going to ride violently. Right. We're going to dictate to offenses. They're going to feel us.
I don't play that game. You know, I'm a critical thinker. I can't just get in line and clap like a seal. But I will tell you that when I look at that draft history in 10 years, it'll still piss me off. Because it's just there's a difference between an inexact science and not being very good at it, and very obviously having no clue. They had no clue in that building. And we had to sit here and watch it for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us knew it every step of the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was, I want time back. I want energy and effort and money and some of the voice that I lost that I'll never get back into this microphone.
Mm-hmm.
What a stupid operation this was for so long.
No question.
With no proven general managing chops in the building and just being told that the poop was fertilizer. You know, just being told that the wet stuff was rain. Oh,
yep.
So frustrating.
Yeah, and I think it's for me partly because I hold grudges and I don't forgive very well. But a big part of it for me about wanting to revisit it is when I said so at the time, oh, did I catch some Eric Flack?
Yeah, you care way more about the personal part of it.
Right. When I get whenever I'm correct and I get screamed at and I don't get my apologies, like everybody who ever said anything, yeah, when I was like, this is the incorrect pick, which it was, I was correct then. And then the next day I was walking around just correct. All the days from that day till this, just strutting around like McMahon in the circle of right. I'm wrong all the time, and when I am, I say so. You were all wrong. Everybody who raised their voice at me, put a finger up, or did a crying emoji, or whatever the hell you were doing, I want that. And so that's why I revisit it.
I totally get that.
That's why I do that.
I've worked with you long enough. I know
and
that.
And you
that's
know that.
How
yeah,
you
we
roll.
Know each other. Yeah.
And I will say this. This is not even a knock on you, because you do it both ways. You also love to do the, here's the thing I got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about that. To me, like, no one cares about your fantasy team. Mm-hmm. Like, your obsession with your scorecard, so to speak, on your calls, I respect that you are willing to say when you get it right or wrong. To me, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Now to the more important thing, the football team. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And it's just, God, it's so maddening.
Yes, it is.
That's the bill of goods you were sold for some time.
Yep.
And that run in the first round.
Yeah, I need
is so embarrassing.
I need the professionals who are paid to do that. I need them to know before I do. You see what I'm saying? Just whatever it is, whatever and whatever it is, they get millions to do the job effectively. When I can go over here, not making millions, by the way, that was wrong. And then 2 years later, a year later, 6 months later, however much later, turns out that I was right. That can never happen. That's reprehensible.
The final draft of that era, Emmanuel Forbes at 16 overall.
Wrong.
He's getting back on the field now over the street free agents that they bring in. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Quan Martin is actually a player who mm-hmm. they drafted in the second round. I'm going to give them a win there. Stromberg in the third round. Braden Daniels in the fourth round. KJ Henry in the fifth round. Chris Rodriguez and Andre Jones in the late rounds. None of those guys may ever do anything meaningful for this football team. The year before that, Dotson in the first round, no longer on the roster. I mean, that's really where you start the convo, by the way. The first round picks of Forbes, Dotson, Jamin Davis, and then Chase Young, which was disastrous. Now, Young, we can look back at and say they should have gone quarterback, but that pick in and of itself, I give them a little more grace on because everybody thought he was the real deal. Every draft analyst, every team in America would have taken that guy at number two if they had a quarterback. The problem was Washington didn't have a quarterback. And that's why the pick was bad. But otherwise, you just look at some of the decisions they made. Oh, I could work myself into a frenzy if we start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But the news of the day is that Jamin Davis, who the team drafted 19th overall, was released today. And in a symbolic gesture, I think a apropos kind of course it happened this way. They did it in a tweet. Like, no one even broke the story. Think about that. No one was tipped off by an agent. No national reporter cared enough about it. Just like some dude on the back of the roster who's no longer on the team. They sent a tweet from their account saying, "We've cut Sheldrick Redwine and Jamin Davis."
You know, just two players.
That's what they thought of Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
Sheldrick Redwine got cut. Who are the guy they signed to the practice squad that I've never heard of and probably will never hear of? You know, we signed Jeremiah Tittle to the practice squad. And by the way, we cut Jamin Davis. Wait, go back to the second one. What did you just say? Yeah, I don't know if you heard. We cut Sheldrick Redwine. We signed Jeremiah Tittle to the practice squad. We cut Jamin Davis. And then we signed Danny Hua to the practice squad.
Wait, huh?
What'd you say about Jamin Davis?
There was a big one in there. My buddy used to do that.
They're just trying to fit it right in the middle.
My buddy would do that with trade offers. He would name like three scrubs. He'd be like, "You just give me, you know, I don't know, just give me like Mahomes, and I'll just give you." And I'm like, "Wait, what? You can't just
a bit." I would do with my wife. Like, "What are your plans on Saturday?" "Yeah, I want to. You know, we could go to the store in the morning. We'll get the garage cleaned out. I want to go to the Caps game at 7, and then we'll make sure that we clean out the refrigerator." She's like, "Did you say you're going to the Caps game on Saturday?"
"What? What's that?" What did you say?
Wow. All right, let's see what the people think. We'll get your reactions next. Breaking news on the fan today. Jamin Davis cut by the Commanders. It's a new day. They're better, and they continue to clean house. 5-2, and they don't need the old players that can't help them from the last regime. And Davis is the latest one to hit the chopping block. This is the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Austin Eckler is on the show at 5 o'clock today. That is a half hour away. Welcome back to Grant and Danny, live on The Fan from our Half Street studios in D.C. Jamin Davis was released by Washington this afternoon. They made some other moves. They were all in the same tweet. They buried the Jamin Davis news right in the middle of... It's like the Friday dump.
But the all-time Friday news dump.
The mid... tweet dump where you say, Sheldrick Redwine will not be with us anymore. Neither will Jamin Davis. By the way, here are the two guys that were signing to the practice squad.
Like when the NFL announced the Dan Snyder non-suspension, suspension, probation, but he's as of his own free will thing, like July 3rd at like 6 p.m., you know, right before the fourth holiday. Masterful stuff. This is on that level.
I was watching Ron Rivera breaking down the NFL on NFL Network today.
Weird, huh?
Can't wait to hear his thoughts on the big move tomorrow on Good Morning Football. Miss ol' Ron.
Yeah.
Been a little while since he dropped this hot track. This was playing in the clubs all over D.C. Take a shirt.
Well, you guys really want to go there, don't you?
Yep. Swing it around your head. We want to go. We're going to go back to the
guys.
Everybody, guys. You know where I want to go, Ron?
Guys. I want to talk about that first round draft history. Well, you guys really want to go there, don't you?
Guys. Why do you think this didn't work out? Do you think it was that he didn't know where his feet were? Do you think it was he couldn't draw a map because he hadn't been there before?
Mm.
Do you think it was...
He checked out the wrong copy. Not the 2.0 version, the 1.0 version of the analytics of football.
Okay.
He read the wrong analytics of football. Somebody handed him a bad data sheet in Indianapolis that time when he decided that Carson Wentz was his guy. That's not his fault. You handed him the wrong analytics.
Don't even bring that up, okay?
Now, was that when the guy had already had surgery? And then JP asked about the surgery, if he might need surgery?
No, that is not a word.
That's the time to be very specific.
Okay.
When Curtis Samuel, who had already been operated on,
yeah,
was being discussed by the local media in a press conference.
Uh-huh.
They said, what if he ends up needing surgery?
Again.
And Ron acts like... You said it's like the word you can't say on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Do not even mention that.
That's so funny. I forgot he said.
He yelled at JP Finley, like, man.
Do not even mention.
Like, don't
that
even
word.
Say it. Because I don't think it happened.
Do not start something that's not there.
Surgery? Well, it's not there because it's already happened.
Then let's say why he isn't playing.
Jamin Davis got cut.
Cut. Just released.
First round pick has already changed positions. Incredible.
So I'm just trying to do some math here and figure some stuff out.
Let me say this really fast.
Please do.
He will play again this year for somebody. He is fast. He has some NFL traits. If he was a sixth round pick, there would be no animus. I think people would look at him and go, I want to see more of that guy. He's interesting. He is loathed by the fan base and is a major storyline because he was the 19th overall pick.
Yeah.
But I do think he can help a football team. There's no reason that guy can't play special teams for somebody.
What's I was going to say?
And work his way onto the field as a linebacker.
Two things. One, what should be happening for him is you've been humbled. Whatever. Here we are. What are you going to do? He should be the greatest special teams player ever in his mind. Like, go do that and dominate that role and claw your way back somewhere. Like, turn that, make that your career story. Because his skill set is perfect for that. The other thing I was going to add is Jordan McGee's IR return window closes within the next couple of days,
yes,
I think.
This week.
I think this is where the math comes back. So I would assume, I don't want to say assume, that may be the precursor to that move is McGee returning.
Let's go to the phone. See what you guys think about the big news. Jamin Davis has been cut by the Commanders. Let's go to Justin in Centerville. Hello, Justin.
Howdy.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I think Jamin Davis is an athletic guy, and I think that's why he was a first-round pick for Ron Rivera. It felt like every pick they made during that tenure was guys who have athletic traits. And I do think that there are going to be front offices that are enticed by those traits. I just don't see him ever becoming that, you know, starting middle linebacker for any team in the NFL. I just don't think he has that football instinct sometimes. I watched him a lot his rookie year, and it just felt like a lot of times he just wasn't in the right position.
He was just hesitant. He was also playing his second-best linebacker position. I think he got a lot better when they moved him off the ball. They moved him to the weak side. But I agree with the caller. It was very obvious to me right away he was biting off more than he could chew as a green dot. It just didn't work. That was not going to work. I think if he gets signed, it's going to be by someone to play like weak side linebacker or something. Maybe it's a scheme like this where you use two linebackers and you need someone who can run. I don't think anyone's going to scoop him as a defensive end. Because my guess is if the tape was good or they felt good about him as a defensive end, he would still be here. Probably has to play linebacker down the depth chart and be a special teams type player at this point. There's a chance nobody bites on him, by the way, and he just comes back to the practice squad. I mean, that would be the ultimate tell. I don't think that'll happen. I got to imagine one of 31 teams will say, this guy's worth kicking the tires on. But can you imagine if he gets through waivers and then they just put him on their practice squad?
That would be something. But the whole league saying no, too? Oof.
Let's go to Dre in Manassas on G&D. What's up, Andre?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, dude.
Are we going to see you on Friday, by the way? We're coming out to Manassas, Uptown Alley, 2 to 6:30 live show, our Friday field trip on Sudley Road.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and make it out. I just heard about it, but, you know, Uptown Alley is kind of cool. There's a nice little racetrack right next to it, so it should be fun.
All right, cool.
You know, you go to, like, graduate school, and they got case studies on Blockbuster, Spalding, and Enron, and Kodak. And I think one of these days you'll see, you know, a case study on how it got so bad with Ron Rivera, because, you know, it's pretty bad. And don't forget the speeding tickets for Jamin Davis. I guess I was fooled. I mean, I knew he wasn't great, but, you know, it all started for me when he didn't realize the team wasn't going to make the playoffs or they couldn't make the playoffs anymore. I think that was your question, Grant. And, yeah, you wonder how is it this bad? How did he even – this is actually pretty sad, actually, in terms of how bad he did. And, you know, I don't know whether or not he deserves it. I guess he does deserve it, but, you know, it's actually pretty sad when you think about it in terms of how everything just missed. You know, that the good news is that's behind us. And,
well,
you know, we
here's
can
what
move
I would say
and...
to that, Drake, because I think it's a good point. It's a good phone call. Thanks, brother. Do I feel bad? Yes, I'm an empathetic person. Okay, I'm as an empath, I guess. Yeah, I do feel bad. I don't want to see anybody fail. And I think Ron Rivera is actually a nice person. So, of course, I feel bad. The part I don't feel bad about, though, is he took a job, got paid a lot of money, where he had never done something before, ever, and said, yeah, I could do that. I know I could do that. Not a crime. I think a lot of us would do that, by the way. But then he surrounded himself with people who were also doing things they were not that qualified to do. Doing just people that he knows, people that are friends, people that agree with him, people that he sees eye to eye with. If you're going to do that, go hire an unbelievably talented assistant GM who can help get you through the rigors. Go hire a great talent evaluator who's done it somewhere else, who's an assistant. He hired the guy that gave him his first job but only done this in Carolina with no hardware to show for it in Marty Herney. He hired Martin Mayhew, whose only other previous GM job was for the Lions when they went 0 for the season, who was not getting a GM job anywhere else. Like, why are you doing that? And I don't mean to pick on those guys, but that's where I'm annoyed. That's where every time I looked at it, I said, what are we doing here? A front office should have a GM who can scout talent like they do now in Peters. You know what Peters did, who's actually really good and doesn't need as much help? He went and got Lance Newmark, who was one of the hottest assistant GMs in the league. He went and got Brandon Sosna, who's a savant guru, who's one of the youngest superstar up-and-comer future GMs in the NFL. They have four guys in their front office right now that would have been better qualified than any person in their previous front office. That's why I don't feel quite as bad. Give yourself a chance. Know what you don't know. Surround yourself with good people, not people that you want to hang out with and have a pizza with.
Yeah, I don't. You're better at that than I am, having empathy in situations like that. I have none. If you don't like the responsibility that comes with taking on everything, don't take it on, right? When you can't bother to go to the Senior Bowl, when your drafts have sucked because you're playing golf, because you need a vacation, you don't get to do both jobs. I'm sorry. Like, that's loser stuff. When the FBI raids your guy and you're out getting your car washed, whatever the hell it was, there was nothing you could have done at the facility? There wasn't a single bit of tape you could have been grinding over? There wasn't a single prospect you could have looked at any point in time and been in your office when the FBI came to arrest your guy and cuff and stuff his ass out of Ashburn? You were getting your car detailed because it's slower for coaches on Friday? You're also in charge as the GM. You wanted all the responsibility, and you couldn't bother to do it. And then got defiant and yelled at people. When JP's like, hey, what's going on with Curtis Samuel? Don't even bring that up, okay? What? That he already had surgery? You couldn't communicate very well? 1 week, we expect him any day now. We really do, with the more so than anything else with Chase Young. 10 weeks later, his ass still hadn't played. What were we doing? It was amateur hour. So no, I've got zero. Oh, even less than zero sympathy. In fact, I've got contempt. So, sorry to bring it back up. I know we're doing way better now. Yeah. It's a 5-2 time. We don't need Jamin Davis at all. I'm good. I promise you I'm good. But Dre, you're a sweet man. Grant's a better person than me. It's no empathy. My blood boils
Okay, but at the end of the day, it's football. Wasn't a good football executive.
It's fine.
Worse things.
Yes, sir.
There's worse things.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get into that. But no, I don't dislike Ron Rivera.
Seems like he was nice to us at the Super Bowl. Very nice guy.
He was not good at his job. And every time you tried to say that, you got yelled at for it. It gets a little old, okay? When your gig is to call balls and strikes and you're correctly calling balls and strikes.
Ball. This was not even close. Could someone get someone warming up in the bullpen? Ball.
In Ron we trust.
Ball 8. Ball 12.
Was the t-shirt that people were wearing. You were wearing the t-shirt. I'm not pointing. Not you, Darius.
Why'd you point it? You saw that?
Well,
hey, YouTube, you guys saw that.
Darius was in front of me. I'm not saying he was wearing it.
Point it right at him.
Jamin Davis released. The Commanders are 5-2, by the way.
5-2.
Can we hear it for my guy, Adam Peters? Huh? Can we celebrate? Do we have our Adam Peters sounder ready to go? I didn't make an Adam Peters sounder with Darius, by the way. So whenever, you remember the Ben Johnson alert?
Do I remember the Ben Johnson alert?
Whenever I start talking about how much I have a man crush on Adam Peters, we've actually got a new sounder for the show that we're going to be playing, which I'm really happy about. It's the opposite of the Guys, Guys, Guys song with Ron Rivera.
Yep.
Or any kind of Rivera, like, but really,
more so than anything else.
I'm sure we can, okay? This is more of a celebratory feel-good Adam Peters moment.
Adam Peters.
Problems are all gone. I got a new guy making draft picks.
Did that feature a little... little Josh Harris in there?
That's Josh Harris. With I made a bunch of echoes for some reason. But yeah, Josh Harris saying, I just thought it'd be funny because the way he says it, he's like, Adam Peters.
The first general manager of the Washington Stupid Names.
Adam Peters.
Okay, everybody. Adam Peters is here.
He's here.
Your long national nightmare is over. We don't cut first-round picks 2 years later anymore. First-round picks aren't deactivated in week two of their sophomore season. They're not getting benched and playing four snaps anymore. They're going to be out there leading the league in EPA per play. That's what they're going to be doing.
Grant and Danny.
They're going to be... thank you, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
He knows...
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Adam, who's your favorite radio show?
Well, I think first and foremost, Danny, you're a first-rounder in my books.
That's not what I asked you, but I do appreciate
that. That's nice of him to say, nonetheless.
Thank you. What I want to know is, who's your favorite radio show?
Grant and Danny.
Bam.
I agree with that.
Well, this is number one right here, sitting with you guys, and then everything else is kind of a big drop-off after that.
You butter us up.
Now, I didn't believe him there, if I'm being honest.
I did.
You did? Like, this is his number one thing, is us.
Well, I've had people tell me all the moves he makes... He thinks first, what would Grant and Danny want me to do? And
then he does. What would Grant and Danny? WWGADD.
We don't need to worry about the Marty party. Although Martin Mayhew is really good at his job now. I don't know if I've told you that. Something happened this offseason. He is super smart. He sees it differently.
Huh.
He is awesome at evaluating players.
Remember every time he agreed with Coach?
Yeah. I rode an elevator up in the stadium with him a couple weeks ago. It was not awkward at all. A
lot of talk?
It was quiet.
Did you play the quiet game?
Hey, neighbor, how you doing, Mr. Mayhew?
How's it going?
Just wanted to say I thought that Davis pick was good, and they're all a bunch of idiots, sir. But anyway.
Anyway.
The Marty party. Don't worry about them. Rivera, don't worry about them. We got Adam, handsome, sharp chin, salt and pepper haired Peters.
Adam Peters.
Watch him as he goes. Jamin Davis has been cut. You're listening to The Fan. At the top of the hour, Austin Eckler joins the show. Looking forward to catching up with Eckler each and every week. He joins us Tuesdays on Grant and Danny. We're also giving away tickets. Disturbed is at Capital One Arena. Eckler actually likes Disturbed. That's why we play the Disturbed song when he comes on the show every week. Those tickets are going to be available right at the top of the hour for somebody to win. So make sure you're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. The breaking news is that Jamin Davis was released today by the Commanders. The timing's just odd. They're dealing with a ton of injuries at his position at defensive end. And today's the day with Dorrance Armstrong coming back from injury, hopefully. You've got Baptiste, who's been out. He's on injured reserve. It's just a strange time to see them cut a defensive end. Now, everyone wants to draw the link to Jordan McGee coming back from the IR and being placed on the 53-man roster, and you need a roster spot. But he's a linebacker, which Jamin Davis is not necessarily anymore. But clearly they need a spot, and Davis was the last guy they were willing to keep around. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on The Fan. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. So I want to quote our old buddy Pete Haley. So about a week or days after the 2022 draft, he penned an article about the draft, which had received some external criticism. Now, I'll never forget this. I think I'm kind of more on Danny's side of this. Here's what Pete wrote. With some passionate remarks in a post-draft press conference on Saturday, Washington GM Martin Mayhew made clear he consumed the backlash to the Commander's strategy. Quote, you know, people are making projections about where they expect players to go, the executive said. They're not in these buildings. They're not around these teams. We understand our needs and what we need as a football team much better than people on the outside looking in. If only it were true, boys. frustration. If only it were true. But my frustration is Martin's still on the payroll. Ron's not on the payroll. Dan doesn't own the team anymore. You can go to commanders.com and you can find Martin's profile. Now, I don't want to pile on Martin Mayhew, but honest to God, if this is a new, transparent organization, shouldn't a reporter go out there and say, Martin, what do you think happened? Why do you think it didn't?
Well, in fairness, let me just answer that one for you, Kevin. It's a great call,
thank
as
you,
always, buddy. Thank you. There's no access to Mayhew, which is not to say he runs or hides from people, but you're not allowed to just go up and interview anybody you want. Like, as an example, I'd love to talk to Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury talks once a week at the podium to the media. That's it. There's no one-on-ones. There's no added. When you're a coach or above, you can't just go up and interview Adam Peters. You got to have permission granted from the PR staff. So the next time Martin Mayhew talks will be the first, when he's not sitting right next to Ron Rivera at a press conference kind of agreeing with Ron Rivera.
The coach said it best.
When they did that a few times. But again, this isn't a beat up on Martin Mayhew session, but just to kind of answer your question, no, I mean, if you're a reporter that covers the team, that's not access that you get. You don't get to talk to the random advisor who's listed on the website, and no one really knows exactly what he's doing. Although he's got a relationship with Peters. They know each other from San Fran. I would not be surprised if he's around beyond just the remainder of his contract. But again, it's a way lesser role. I'm not even really sure exactly what he does. I think he's just someone to bounce some things off of, who's been around the league dating back to his time playing here with the championship Redskins. Let's go to Justin in Fredericksburg. What's up, Justin?
Hey, brother. Thanks for taking my call. Hey,
I applaud Ron Rivera. If it wasn't for him, we couldn't bottom out. Once we bottomed out, we figured out where to go and where we're going to head. I'm looking forward to this week's game. It was I love the way how hard they played against the Ravens. And, you know, if we had a running game, we would have won that, and we would have kept the streak alive. But
well, to your point, eight straight losses to end last year. Seahawks, Giants, Cowboys, Dolphins, Rams, Jets, 49ers, Cowboys, where you don't pick second. Now, you and I were saying, no, you're not trying to lose, but fans were so angry at us and thinking this idea that that losses are better than wins and all the people that were yelling at us that are now wearing Jaden Daniels jerseys. You don't get Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams or Drake May or whoever it was going to be that they were going to take if you don't pick in the top one, two, or three.
If it was up to me, you'd have to root for Jacoby Brissett to win that game back there in December, and you don't get to enjoy right now, but it's not. But, yeah, I mean, when you go through the track record, it's certainly obvious. And you just kind of wonder, you know, like it took all of the bad things to happen. Who knows if any one of them doesn't happen, does Snyder still sell? Like if Carson Wentz had worked and they were 9-7 or something like that or whatever, it took all of the bad to get to where we are. You know, it's like that stupid country song, like the broken road. You know what I mean? Like that's what happened. We had to walk through all of this broken glass for 30 some years to get to a point where it's fun again. You know, like if one of them doesn't happen, then we're not here.
Which country song is the broken road?
I think it's called Broken Road.
But it's not Country Roads.
No.
West Virginia. I love that song.
That's a good jam.
I mean, you see them
singing that in NFL Europe, one of those games or whatever? Yeah.
They do that now in every London
game. That's a good bit.
Everything about that song being sung in a stadium is for me. Austin Eckler, weekly appointment on the show, and we are giving away tickets to go see Disturbed, which is one of his favorite bands, as soon as we return on G&D right here on The Fan.